T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Sal's going to join us, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal is, his outlet is coming on this radio station and talking football, and he's going to join us right now on our Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How are you?
Yeah, it can kind of be escape from reality in a lot of ways, right? I mean, to be honest with you, guys.
Well, thanks. That's what we're here for. A little
escape
what
happens,
from reality.
Jeremy? Hmm. What happens if they actually proceed with that lawsuit and it's like 3 years from now and they say, oh, yeah, what are you supposed to do, replay the game, bring Drew Brees back in a few more years if all he's right. not playing anymore?
I just think the idea of a deposition is funny, right? Like,
right.
You go to the official, what were you thinking? Hey, I have a deposition every day when I'm actually on the job on the field as the fans are yelling at me.
Right, exactly.
Hey, just a heads up for you. I just checked the weather forecast for New York City for this weekend. Sunday, the high is going to be 97. The heat index is going to be over 105. I hope you got seats in the shade. Or you're in a luxury box.
Not in a box. I don't think it's going to be in the shade.
Mm. Going to be a little toasty at Yankee Stadium on Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say not just Yankee Stadium, guys. I mean, believe me, I've been tracking this. It was actually, it did get to 100 for the actual forecast. Not even the real field, the actual temperature did get to 100 a few days ago. Now it's down to 97, like you said, but it's unbelievable. And that's 2 days. It's going to be between 95 and 99, basically, I think.
Yeah, Saturday's going to be a little hotter than Sunday in New York.
And we're going to be walking around the city, too, remember?
Ooh.
So, and as you know, those buildings, it's just crazy. The concrete, everything.
Yeah. Walk into the stores with air conditioning all over the place.
Yeah.
Hey, so
normally, Max tries to get me to, we're at a game. I got to go to the store. You know, he wants to go to the
the
team
souvenir
store, whatever,
yeah,
wherever
right.
we are, right? And I'm always like, no, we bought you a bunch of stuff. I may just be like, yeah, let's go to the team store. We need to get out of the heat.
Every inning, I think you should go to the team store.
I know.
You know, it's like the place, it's going to be the place to be. You have more articles up with the conversations that the media had with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. What are the topics today? And then we'll get into some specifics.
Well, I wrote today about the draft night trade rumors of the Bills looking to move up to get to number 3 and how all that really played out, what was real, what wasn't, and Brandon Bean talking about that, as well as the crowded running back situation and how they're going to manage the guys they have, the workload for Gore and McCoy in preseason to keep them healthy but also give them reps, and why they drafted Devin Singletary given the situation they're in. So where would you like to start?
Let's start with the trade-up rumors, because I know when those came out at the time, we were thinking, oh, God, no, please don't trade up and give up whatever you have to give up to get a defensive tackle. Turns out they stayed where they were and got a defensive tackle. But from what you could tell, were the Bills really interested? Were they pursuing the trade-up, or was it, phone rang, Jets wanted to talk a little bit about moving out, and sure, why not take the call and discuss it? What could you glean from that?
I think the telling quote from Brandon Bean here is, quote, yes, they called us a couple times and we had conversations. I assume, like anything, if you're really trying to move out, you're trying to drum up business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fairest way to put it. I think what he's saying there is, it wasn't on us, it was on them.
Yeah.
But if they call and say, what will you give us for the number 3 pick? I'm going to give him an offer. It's not going to be much because, hey, sure, you want to give me a great deal, I'll do it. I think that's how this played out.
Okay.
So, sure, if you have a couple conversations and they call you and they're trying to somehow get it out there that they're having a conversation with the Bills, so, oh, by the way, you better come up and get this pick because they want it and they're trying to move out. And sure, if the Bills say, I don't even know if the Bills made a formal offer, but assuming if they said, sure, okay, we'll give you, we'll swap picks and we'll give you an extra 6th, right? Something like that, which is obviously not going to work. Then it's true that there was a trade conversation.
Hmm. But it also, it didn't seem like, first off, I guess you'd have to have a guy that you think you covet this guy so much that you would move whatever you have to move up. And it sounds like from what Brandon told you guys, he felt the draft was deep enough that it just wasn't a necessity. It wasn't that critical that they had to move up from where they were.
Right, which goes back to, though, I don't think the Bills initiated.
Yeah, the Jets called them, but you, and right. Sure, and you listen. But it,
anyway. So then you go down the road of, well, yeah, sure, we like that guy. So, yeah, we'll move up if you want. This is what we'll give you. It's not much,
yeah.
You know, but if you want to do it. But if the other team initiates it, I don't think you're, to me, you're not coveting him so much that you're making that phone call then.
Did the issue of whether or not he would actually trade with a division rival come up at all in that discussion?
It did not.
Okay. I'm just curious.
But apparently, because they did talk, I would assume they would.
Yeah.
Right? I think that if he talks about it and says, instead of saying, we talked a couple of times, if he says, yeah, when they call, we're not trading with a division rival, I think that would have been the response there if that's the case. So, you know, it was always curious to me if either team would do that, Howard, like why they would. I didn't think that that would make sense as much. But sure, if you talk a couple times, then obviously there's at least something there where you might do it.
And the other article about the running backs is interesting because I think, you know, if you had, this is the whole, if you had a nickel for every tweet you've received about LeSean McCoy or every question, every time you're on one of our shows, people call up and say, hey, why is McCoy still here? Are they going to move on from LeSean McCoy? So that topic did come up when you guys talked to the GM and the head coach, right? And it sounded like they stayed in line with everything they've been portraying about LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. And, you know, he said that they're focused on this year. They have him under contract. He's got enough left in the tank to help him this year. He said he's not concerned about where LeSean is in his playing career right now. And if he was concerned, they would have made the decision to move on. And the simple fact that he is still on the roster is proof, basically, that, you know, we still believe that he can play. It's not, this isn't some, you know, marketing thing. This isn't window dressing. LeSean McCoy is on this team, and they're not doing things for those reasons. If somebody's on this roster, it's because they believe that that person can help them, you know, win games. And right now, they believe that about LeSean McCoy. And in fact, so much so that he is currently running back number one on this team.
Yeah. What about the glut there? What about all the running backs bringing in Gore and Yeldon, drafting Singletary? What did Brandon have to say about what is a very crowded backfield?
Yeah, it's interesting. He said he's been in situations where they don't have enough as opposed to too many. You'd rather have too many as opposed to not enough. They like what they have right now. They don't go into a season saying, or into a camp saying, well, here's our numbers. And that's the one thing. Like, it happens a lot in the offseason. I get it. You know, we're all trying to have the conversation and figure it out, and it's a piece of the puzzle, and it's cool to have the conversation. But every time someone asks me, well, how many wide receivers do you think they'll keep? Or how many running backs? I don't know. I mean, those things can change. You just don't know who's going to be, like, does Sonoris Perry make it because of special teams? You know, is that a fifth running back? And I don't think you can't really quantify it that way. You just have to let it play out. And then injuries always happen,
right,
guys, always.
Look at last year.
And yeah, I mean, you get a couple weeks into camp and you're like, boy, you don't want to be sitting there. And this is basically what Brandon said. You don't want to be sitting there going, boy, why did we get rid of player X and player Y when we have two injuries now and we're down to our fourth string guy that we just was an undrafted rookie. You'd rather say, you know what, glad we kept an extra guy because we're okay. We got a guy that's out a couple weeks. We're okay. We're in a good spot. So, you know, they looked at their situation. You have to remember where LeSean is in his age. Yes, he is under contract for one more year. Where Frank Gore is in his age, he is under contract for one more year. They brought in a younger free agent in TJ Yeldon. He was the youngest unrestricted free agent on the market. They drafted a young guy in Devin Singletary. And, you know, they can go now and they can let these guys battle it out. And, oh, by the way, he still brought up Marcus Murphy, his name. He brought up Christian Wade. I don't think Wade has much of a chance, but he is on the team and he's still fighting. He's the rugby guy. So it's not just those guys we always talk about. At some point, you don't know. Marcus Murphy could be maybe your number two or three based on how things go in preseason with injuries or guys and, you know, fighting for reps. These things tend to work themselves out, and that's basically what he said.
With the running backs, last thing on this, Sal, that when we get to camp, you know, and they have the practices and we get to the preseason games, with McCoy and Gore, I would assume they're going to be really strict, right, in terms of the number of reps those guys are getting and amount of snaps in games, few, if any, for both guys in preseason games. What do you think they'll do with both of them?
I can't imagine they would get none, but Maybe. I mean, that is a possibility. I think that if you see enough from them during your scrimmage work, you know, you're going down to Carolina, right? They're going to be going against players on the Panthers during scrimmages, stuff like that. If you see enough of them in your 9-on-7 drills, if you see enough of them throughout your training camp, you don't maybe you don't have to give them any work in the preseason. But a lot of times guys just need that. They need that feel. They don't want to go into a season not having a few carries here or there. And it's funny, interesting what he said about Frank Gore, which is he said, one of the things I've already figured out about Frank is he wants the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. And they have to protect Frank from Frank. That's actually Brandon Bean's words. We have to protect Frank from Frank. And he said, even in the spring, he was basically saying, I want more carries. I've been hurt. I want to show what I can do. Remember, he missed a couple of days during the spring practices. So it's really about kind of balancing that. And he put it on Sean and Kelly Skipper, who's the running backs coach, and Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, to kind of make sure that they're getting everybody the reps they need, but at the same time, making sure that they're not, you know, overworking any of these guys. So I think it's the right balance. And a lot of times, Howard, I think that, you know, you kind of have to ask the player. Like, you have to ask Frank Gore, like, how much do you need? Mm-hmm. How much work do you need in the preseason? How many carries to kind of feel good about yourself? How many do you need if you're LeSean McCoy? And the last few years, LeSean hasn't really carried the ball that much in preseason, at least under Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
So maybe he doesn't. But I think they're both the kind of guy that may say, I need a few. I need a few. It's kind of like going to the driving range, right? And early on before you go and play golf. Like, yeah. Some people just, they're okay with getting out of the cart and going to hit. Some people just need to hit the ball a few times before they get out there and feel good about their game.
Sal is with us on the Wester Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. Quick update from the Open. Tiger had back-to-back birdies on 10 and 11. He's still missing the projected cut. He's at 4 over. The projected cut at this point is 1 over, and Tiger went left off the tee on 12, so he's in the rough stuff.
J.B. Holmes had a bogey, so he's come back to -8. Justin Rose, an eagle.
Ooh.
So now it's Holmes, 8, Fleetwood, 7, and Smith, Rose, 6. Harding, Rose, Finau, 6.
And Koepka finished at 5 under.
Koepka so and rounds. Spieth and Westwood and Lucas Bjerregaard?
Sure. Okay.
5.
Going to be a fun weekend. This is shaping up to be a great weekend to watch. Where was I? Oh, one other on the injuries, Sal. We were talking about health, but let's talk injuries for a moment. We'll see how things are at the start of camp. They were a big storyline at the OTAs, right? I think one of the things on Thursday or whenever you have your first availability with Sean McDermott will be, we know Croft isn't going to be ready, right? But who's ready to go full go at the start of training camp, because there were so many guys that they were understandably cautious with during OTAs and minicamp?
Honestly, we don't know, Howard. Like, we'll get that on Thursday.
Yeah.
And there's always guys that every year we get this guy's on the non-football injured list. This guy's on the, you know, whatever list. It just seems like, you know, some guy he has to pass his conditioning test still. It just seems like every year there's a guy or two like that. You never know. Also, anything that happened between spring practices and now, these guys are away from the facility. Nobody's reporting to us and telling us injury. So I don't know who's going to be available, who's not. I will tell you this, from the things that were told to us back in spring practices, Tyler Croft was the only quote unquote long-term injury,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're assuming, and I'm assuming, that everyone should be healthy enough to be on the field unless there was some sort of setback or complication or something that happened since then.
You were on yesterday with Bulldog, right? You guys had Sam Monson on from Pro Football Focus. We have got some highlights of that interview at WGR550.com with Sal's articles, by the way, if you want to check it out. What did he have to say about Josh Allen when it came to his accuracy and where he might go in year two?
You know, I liked Sam a lot. I thought he was really interesting, and he made some really interesting points about Josh and the wide receivers. And we talked a lot about this, which is the Bills had these big catch radius guys, right? And then they kind of shifted to the smaller guys who can get open a little bit. And Sam Monson basically said Cole Beasley is the perfect way to treat an inaccurate quarterback. And yes, he basically said Josh Allen's inaccurate. And he said the numbers and the stats and the analytics that they do, they kind of show that he is, you know, we have a lot of debate about how completion percentage doesn't equal accuracy, which is right. By the way, there's some quotes from David Cutcliffe about that over the weekend. Joe Marino had them. I think he was at a conference. David Cutcliffe spoke, and I was reading some of that stuff, and it's really good about completion percentage versus accuracy. They're not the same thing. And Sam agreed they're not the same thing. But he also said, but the numbers do show that Josh is not accurate enough, and he needs to be more accurate. Mm-hmm. However, the people that they brought in are going to help him be like that because they'll get open more. And I think it's interesting the way he put it, which is true, and it's simple to think about. Even though you might have big catch radius guys like a Kelvin Benjamin, you're still asking your quarterback to put it in the catch radius because those guys have trouble getting separation, right? Mm-hmm. So you still have a smaller window to kind of fit the ball. Whereas if you guys have a guy like Cole Beasley, who isn't as big, he isn't as long, at least you're having a kind of a margin of error where he can reach out to get a ball where he is open and you're not having to fit it in such a tight window, if that makes sense. So he basically said those guys will help Josh Allen. And, you know, Josh can be a very good quarterback, but we'll all have to understand, and I love this point about Josh, and it's something I've been trying to make with the people who are so polarizing on him because of completion percentage and whatever, which is Josh Allen is never going to be a really high completion percentage guy. Could he have a few games here or there? Of course. Could he have a season where he jumps up maybe and it's an outlier? Sure. He's never going to be a Drew Brees, obviously, as far as his completion percentage. They never drafted him to be that guy, but he's going to do so many other things that offset that, and that's where you have to have the balance, right? And Sam talked a lot about that, and I thought it was a good conversation.
I'm glad you mentioned Beasley, because I was reading the article, another article on our website, by the way, cheap plug, about the late night discussion they had last night. And the topic was, who will be Mr. Clutch for Josh Allen, right? And a lot of people were going with Robert Foster. I think there's a, I don't know about hype train, but it seems like there's a lot building in terms of excitement that fans have for Robert Foster going into the second season. But for me, Sal, I think Mr. Clutch could turn out to be Cole Beasley.
Could be. How do we define clutch?
Yeah, is it a touchdown catch to win a game?
Mr. Drive Extender.
Then that's him.
That's
not necessarily Foster.
No, right. It'll be the guy that the go-to guy on a big is a fourth and six.
Josh,
you know,
needs a big completion.
This is Beasley's,
I think it's Cole
time.
Beasley, yeah, right. But if we're talking like red zone goal to go, I think you're talking Zay Jones.
Okay.
Zay had 7 touchdowns last year. People forget that.
Yeah.
You know, he was good in the red zone, and Zay's a bigger bodied guy. I know he doesn't come across that way sometimes when you look at him, but he's thick. He knows how to work both the slot and the outside. You can move him around a little bit. I think if you're talking middle of the field, third down, need a big catch, it's Cole Beasley. I think if you're talking inside the 20-yard line, the field gets reduced a little bit. There's not as much room in there. I think you're talking Zay Jones.
So where does Foster – where is Foster coming in terms of really helping Josh Allen this season?
Well, I think, first of all, Robert Foster can run every route, which is really good. And he has the hallmarks of being a true number one wide receiver in this league if he can continue on the projection what he has with the talents that he has. He can spread the field. We know that vertically. I think he can spread the field horizontally because of his route running ability. He has good hands. He has all the traits that you need. I think it's really just a matter of him and Josh understanding each other, having another, you know, I don't know how many games it would take. Maybe it's just going to take through the preseason. But he's a guy that he'll should be able to be relied upon throughout, you know, the entire field. He could be a guy that could score from your 20-yard line or even the red zone in their 20-yard line. So I don't think I would expect him to be, okay, we're in the red zone, he's our guy we're targeting. Mm-hmm. I also don't think where it's third down, he's the guy we're targeting. I just think at the end of the day, Robert Foster is going to see quite a bit of targets and throughout the entire field, and there's going to be no kind of specific way you're using him, just kind of all over the field, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that is actually an all-around guy. Sure.
Beasley
will have his role. I don't know that you'd say Zay Jones has a specific role. I think fair reputation, fair or not, you would think Brown's going to be like, if he's going to impact this team, it's a deep threat. So I think Foster, sure, is more of an overall, this guy could do a bunch of different things for you type of player.
Yeah, I think so. And I just really like Robert Foster, what he brings.
Yeah,
I'm high on him. I think most people are. Most Bills fans are. I really believe if Robert Foster can continue where he left off last year and he's doing the right things in the offseason, I honestly do believe he could. We could be sitting here next year and saying he is the number one wide receiver on the Bills. Like, they found their guy. He's the number one wide receiver. I'm not telling you he'd put up Julio Jones or Antonio Brown numbers, but I think if he does what I think he can do and what he can be, I really think that that is the ceiling for him, that he can be a true number one wide receiver on an NFL football team.
Have fun in the Bronx there this weekend, Mr. Capaccio. And as always, thanks for your time.
Okay, guys, we'll report back. It's going to be really sizzling hot.
Well, stay cool. A lot of ice cream for Max.
I will tell you, we have a thing. You'll like this. We have a thing for Max where whenever we go to a city, we buy him a puck of the NHL team in that city, and we buy him a baseball of the Major League Baseball team in that city. So we told him today he'll get his Yankees ball and he'll get his Mets ball.
Okay. But pucks, you're going to have to buy three pucks.
I know. We talked about that.
That's a lot of money.
I have to count jersey?
Yeah,
I think
you do.
I do.
Yeah, it's New
but
York
I definitely
City.
Have to get Rangers and Islanders. He doesn't have
yeah,
either yet.
It's New York City metropolitan area. So, yep. Yeah, I think you have to count jersey.
Because the rule is we can't really buy it unless we're in the city.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick tip. You know, black draws a lot of heat. I don't know if I'd wear a Yankees cap. You might want to wear a Mets cap to the game Sunday. It's blue. It's cooler.
I'll pass on that.
I'm just trying to help out, man. I'm just worried about your health.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Al. Have a nice weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.